As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him,
Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?
Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him,
Go, wash in the pool of Siloam,
which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask,
Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?
Some were saying. Others were saying. He kept saying,
I am the man.
But they kept asking him,
And how were your eyes opened?
The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, Go to Siloam and wash. Then I went and washed and received my sight.
Where is he?
I do not know.
They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them,
He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see.
Some of the Pharisees said,
This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath.
But others said,
How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?
And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man,
What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened.
He is a prophet.
The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them,
Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he see now?
We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself.
His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him,
Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner.
I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know that, though I was blind, now I see.
What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?
I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?
Then they reviled him, saying,
You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from.
Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing.
You were born entirely in sins, and you're trying to teach us?
And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said,
Do you believe in the Son of Man?
And who he is, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him.
You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he.
Lord, I believe.
And he worshiped him.
I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind.
Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him,
Surely we are not blind, are we?
If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say, we see, your sin remains.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you. Let us pray. Gracious God, today you gave through your Son physical sight, but also spiritual sight for a man to see with the eyes of faith. We pray that you will give to us the same eyes of faith to see your glory in our everyday lives. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Good morning. There is a man by the name of Reverend Dale Cockrum who works in congregational development with the Methodist Church, and he wrote a story that I would like to begin with today because I think it puts the gospel into the right context. His story concerns two blind men who had been healed by Jesus, the one from the story that we hear today and the other from the other healing of a blind man's story in the gospels. Well, they happened to meet one day. They were so excited to meet each other because they'd both been healed by Jesus. They talked about the wonder of their sight, the color of the flowers, the beauty of the butterflies, the glory of sunrises, the faces of children and grandchildren that they could now see. They even talked about the wonder of having seen the face of Jesus. Well, they were laughing and having a great time together, and one of them said, "And do you remember how Jesus took that mud, spit on it, and put it in your eye?" The other fellow looked kind of stunned and answered, "Why, no." He simply said, "Receive your sight, and I could see." And the first fellow said, wait a minute here. "You mean he didn't use any mud on you?" "No." "Well, did he at least have you go and wash in the pool of Siloam?" "No, of course not. Who ever heard of anything so ridiculous as mud in your eye?" "Well," said the first man, "if he didn't put mud in your eyes and have you wash in the pool, you are still blind. Blind, do you hear me? Because that's the way Jesus healed me, and that's the way he does it." And the second man began to get angry and shouted, "Mud, mud, mud. Who ever heard of using mud? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You still have mud in your eyes. You're the one who's still blind." Well, they got into a big argument. Their relationship was destroyed, and right then and there, they formed the first two denominations, the Muddites and the Anti-Muddites. And he ends his story with this tagline: "Since then, we've been fighting over issues not a lot more significant than that." We celebrate today our youth in this, the third week of our capital campaign. And certainly it fits well that when we are talking about being open to new ideas, we look to our youth. Whether it's from a simple style of worship to the macrocosm of the whole way we see reality. And that's what this gospel is about today. Seeing. In our Bible study this week for the Capitol campaign, it took on the topic of prayer. It was an incredible, incredible little booklet. And in that discussion, it took the word prayer and to describe it created an acronym, with each letter of the word prayer standing for a different component of it. In this story today of the man born blind, we have an incredible living out of that acronym. This section of John's gospel is all about relationship. And prayer itself is about right relationship with God. Today, I'd like us to look at how that particular story fits in to that prayer acronym. First of all, the P stands for process. It also stands for patience. Can you imagine how long that man, blind from birth, had been there begging, day after day after day? How many people went past him almost as if they did not see him. But they knew he was there because they're the ones who say he was blind from birth. What incredible patience he had. Prayer is real. That's what the R stands for. I cannot find anything as real as the way that this man responds. He is not a believer when the story starts. He is a missionary by the time the story ends. He's healed. You would think everybody would be jumping for joy. Just the opposite happened. The neighbors start to claim that it's not even the same man, that maybe they've switched out his twin brother or something. The Pharisees, since they don't get anywhere that way, start to say about Jesus, well, the problem is the why and the how and the when. He's not from God because he did it on the Sabbath. We know he's a sinner. Even his own parents, can you imagine? His own parents who had lived through this with him from birth cannot even be his advocates. They sort of divorce themselves from the whole situation. He's of age, you go talk to him, not to us. The Pharisees then tell him what and whom to see in what has happened. It is only in Jesus that he has a real relationship. He hears the truth, and it makes a difference, and he is able to respond. That's the R, to be real. Then there is A, to be aware, actively aware of God's presence and alert to God's grace. You know, this story starts with a question that's asked of Jesus. Who sinned? This man or his parents? It comes out of a belief that things don't go right and God's punishing us. How many times have we thought that? Jesus does not answer that question. He poses and answers the more important question. And that is, this happened. And why did it happen? Well, maybe I don't know, but God is going to use this to reveal God's glory through what has happened to this man. There's no sin involved. It's an awareness of God's grace. How many times in our lives, we've talked about this before, do we go through each day and 100 million good things can happen and it's all because of what I did. One bad thing's happened and it's God's fault. It's all in our attitude of being aware of the ways in which God is active in each of our lives every day. This week I'd like to share with you a video, a testimonial from the Wegner family. And it's specifically about the Capitol campaign, but listen beyond that to the ways in which they have seen God at work in their lives on a daily basis.
We're the Wegner family. I'm Paul Wegner.
Barbara Wegner.
And Kristen Wegner.
And we're here to talk to you about the Capitol campaign. But I want to make sure that it's clear that I'm not coming to you as senior warden. I'm coming to you as a member of this congregation, and we're coming to you as a family. When we started looking at the Capitol campaign, we sat down to try to figure out the when, the why, and the how. Well, the when is easy. We know this is going to last 3 years, and the time period is over this 3 years. The why is something we sat and talked about as a family. And we realized that over the years we've had many blessings. Barbara and I getting back together again after 14 years and getting married. Us having Kristen, well, so far she's a blessing.
Thanks.
As most of you know, that our grandson AJ was in the hospital in intensive care and in a coma for months. Hospice was called in. We had pretty much decided that we were going to take him off of life support. But things turned around, and it was a real miracle, a real blessing, and those of you that were here on the Christmas Eve service saw him playing one of the sheep in the church pageant. Some of you have also heard and realized that I was a firefighter for 24 years, and about 15 years ago, 20 years ago, I was trapped in a major fire. I was screaming over my radio, I'm burning, get me out. I really did not expect to make it out of the building. But through God's hand, he led me out the front, and as I came out the front door, got about 10 steps away from the building completely collapsed. So I was within seconds of losing my life in a fire. And that was happened to be a church fire. Most recently, when I was riding my bike today to think of things and how I was going to present this, there was another little blessing. I was actually hit by a car on my bike this morning. And I know God was there because I was able to maintain my balance and not tumble and fall and recover from it. And I'm doing pretty good. My bike's not in the best shape that it's been in. But so I know he wanted me to do this today because he protected me. So now we know also why. We've had many blessings here. Besides our personal blessings, we've had a lot of blessings with the church. You've been involved in the youth group.
And the pilgrimage.
And I've been fortunate enough to go on the pilgrimage, which has been an absolute blessing. It's an experience that I'll cherish the rest of my life.
Then we have the support and the love and the fellowship of this congregation that we receive on Sunday and all throughout the week.
And we all know and can see every Sunday how passionate Father Marty is with the sermons. I'm fortunate as senior warden that I get to work with Father Marty on a day-to-day basis sometimes. And I get to see his passion and his real love for what he's doing here. It's incredible. And the staff here that supports Father Marty and supports us, it's just this whole facility and the people in it is such a blessing. I don't know how we can possibly top that. So now that we know the why, we had to figure out how. And this was going to be a real challenge for us. We decided to sit down as a family and look at our finances. We had given a figure a couple of weeks earlier during one of the leadership meetings Terry had asked for. And so now we had to figure out how we were going to get to that point. Well, we looked at things like cell phone bills, cable bills, our home phone. Barbara made phone calls. One bill, for example, our cell phone bill, we were able to cut $45 a month. We looked at things like we have a timeshare. We sell the timeshare, and that's $70 a month in maintenance fees. That all adds up. We'll cut back on car washes. I try to keep my car clean. I don't have to have it cleaned that often. We'll cut back on Starbucks and things like that.
Designer clothes.
Designer clothes. Kristen gave us a figure that she promises that she'll reduce her clothing budget. This all adds up, and it added up just in the bills that we cannot pay by changing them was almost $6,000 over the 3 years, $2,000 a year. Then we look at things like electronics. I spent a lot of money on electronics. I agree that for the next 3 years, I'm not going to buy a TV or a music system, and I promise not even any more camera equipment, even though that's for the church. But we do this. We're also going to cut back on our Christmas spending for each other. Bottom line, when we looked at everything, not only did we reach that goal that we set a couple of weeks ago, but we exceeded it by almost $7,000. It really does work when you sit down and look and pray and figure it out. We talk about sacrificial giving. This really isn't a sacrifice for us because we were able to sit down and look at our finances for the first time really hard and look at what we're doing. We're going to benefit from this as a family, not only because we're giving the money to the church for this capital campaign, but when this is over with, we actually are going to have a better handle on our personal finances, which will help us because Kristen will be going off to college at that time. So in closing, something that I listened to for the past week over and over, and it really hit me on the way here today, some words to a song on Fran's new CD. The song is Waiting for Lightning, and the line is, waiting for lightning, a sign that it is time for a change. And we agree, this is a change that's going to happen here, and now's the time. And then it goes on and says, listening for thunder while God quietly whispers your name. And I do believe he's calling us for this and for this change. And we're very excited about it, and we look forward to continuing with this capital campaign. And I can't wait to have Father Marty's first dinner served in our new parish hall.
Thank you.
being actively aware of God's blessing in our lives. The Y stands for yielding myself to God, saying yes to God, realizing that all of those blessings come from God. The psalm we heard and read today is Psalm 23. I ran across someone's parody of that I think overstates it, but if we look at it from the opposite extreme, it makes a point. It goes like this. The Lord is not my shepherd. I am the captain of my soul. I shall always want, but since I am a self-made person, I will make out okay when necessary. I have no need of someone telling me to rest or lie down so I can have a heart attack at the age of 42. But life is a great joke, so who cares? Get lost, get serious, take a chill. I can provide all the water, food, shelter, money, love, forgiveness that I need for myself. I have no need of any church or God. I can take care of myself. So mind your own business, thank you. I have the last word, not God. I go where I want to go and make up the rules and words as I go. I will pull myself up with my own powerful arms. When I'm in trouble, my boat, my car, my IRA will take care of me. I will go and eat at all-you-can-eat buffets when I'm hungry. When I'm thirsty, I will attend happy hour at the corner bar. Surely venereal disease, AIDS, alcoholism, broken families, and emptiness shall follow me all the days of my existence. And I beg you to join me in my existence because misery loves company. And we can be gods together forever. Hopefully there's no amen to that one. It overemphasizes the point, but does make a strong point. Yielding ourselves to God. The E talks about engaging in the issue at hand, emboldened to find our part, to be enthused, not taking things for granted. Why is it that things that we have had forever, we take them for granted? Can you imagine what it meant to that man to see for the first time? I remember back in my Motorola days, had a nose problem because of all the airplane rides, and they discovered that I had a deviated septum and had to have an operation. When that operation ended and they took off the bandages for the first time, I could not believe the smells that I could smell. I could not believe the energy I had at the gymnasium because of my improved breathing. I had taken for granted what I didn't have and appreciated it all the more when I had more of it. So too should we be with the blessings God has poured upon us. And then there is the R, our response. Prayer is meant to transform. Prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes us. Changes a beggar into a missionary, an unbeliever into a believer, a blind man into one who sees with the eyes of faith. The exercise in the small group this week called for us to look at those essentials that we would take with us if we were to go on a backpacking trip to the wilderness. The only thing we really need is what Psalm 23 tells us today. His rod and his staff that leads us, that keeps us standing, that protects us when we are lost. I'd like to end today with a prayer that I came across from Ruth Calkin in her book entitled, Lord, Could You Hurry a Little? Let us pray it together. Lord, you who permit my grief are the only one who can assuage it. I wonder, do you permit grief that I might learn to be content with nothing less than the comfort of God? Whatever the reason, one thing I'm learning. You make useful to me all that you permit. So, dear God, though a great ache wells within my heart, I ask you to grip my life. empower me to go from depth to depth with you until I am a wounded healer, bringing your comfort to others as you are now comforting me. Amen.